Sunday evening checklist. Meal prep done, clothes laid out, and your fantasy NFL team picked for Paddy Power Fantasy's massive £2.75 million prize pot fantasy game. First place wins £1 million. And because Paddy Power Fantasy games last only as long as the game week, we'll have a winner by Monday. You could pay someone to lay out your clothes on Sundays. Only £9 to enter, and last entry by 6 p.m. Sunday. Paddy Power Fantasy. Hate waiting, love winning. Paddy Power Fantasy rules apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with us, gang, as we roll into week 7, would you believe, of the NFL. J-Bell dropping by very shortly to get us all set. We'll pick all the games, talk a bit of Jalen Mahomes as well. Of course, we'll get into that. Don't forget our daily fantasy show drops tomorrow, Saturday mornings. So if you're playing a bit of daily fantasy, check out me and the OG for that special pod. And you can deep dive back into the earlier in the week. Me and I are Mike on Wednesdays, as we always are. Marek Lahr with the comedian made a fine season debut back on Monday as well. So go and check out the archive. But let's get straight on with the show and check in with the fantastic Jason Bell. Jason Bell, J-Bell, welcome to ESPN HQ.
It's good, Nat. Good to be here. But I got a comment on a jersey on the wall that happens to be green with your name on it. And it's a team that I don't necessarily like.
They show me the love, J-Bell, is all I can say.
Okay.
The jerseys, the balls, the screen, the logo. I just take it all in my stride. Appreciate the love they're showing. Apologies if it has affected you negatively early doors.
We have a great relationship, so I didn't want this to impact us going forward.
I would like to move on from that.
Okay, let's do that.
I would like to draw a line. We start afresh. It's good to see you, man. I am looking forward, first things first, to doing the Wembley games with you in a couple of weeks.
I'm excited. You're such a professional. We get up there. We have a good time. We diagnose the game and get into the storyline. It's fun. It's entertaining. I'm ready for it.
And you got an iPad rolling as well now.
You know what? I'm trying to be like you. You know, you at the game, you always had your iPad. You were looking real good. I was like, I need to copy Nat. He's on to something. So, yes, I am just like you now.
Dropping the but with the pen. You got the – I need one of those.
Yeah, I was in business school, I was trying to save the trees. So I started using the iPad type thing, and my handwriting is so bad anyways. It just made it all make
You're
sense.
You're a digi kid, J-Bell. Now, a couple of things. Bits of housekeeping. I hurt my ribs playing football, right? So don't make me laugh. You've already been making me laugh
too
much.
I'm sorry, brother. You got to stop. You got to give up the sports. It's over. It's over for us.
The dream is over.
We got to just talk about it.
I'm not going pro. I'm still hanging on to that. OC's talking about getting involved with my five-a-side team, which you got to get you down as well. You're playing a bit of five-a-side as well?
Absolutely not, Nat, because, you know, the back injury. But OC, you got to be careful, man. He's so competitive. He's out there trying to ruin people. I watched him play and it's like, dude, you're too big to be out here being a bully, man. And he's all about it. He doesn't miss a game. I saw him hobble to a game before. Ankle injury. He's like, oh, I'm playing today. I was like, bro, you can't even walk. He still went out there and got it done, man. That's the kind of guy he is.
So with these ribs, he would be playing on Tuesday is what you're saying.
100%. He'd be getting treatment. He'd be getting 24-hour treatment so he could get out there like it's a playoff game.
Are we talking about what's the Pacino movie? The Oliver Stone movie?
Football movie?
Yeah, Oliver Stone. Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday, yeah.
So it's like Any Given Sunday, right? Yep. He would basically just ask for the shot and go onto the five-a-side field.
He's like, what's the best stuff you got? Is it legal? I don't care. Give it to me. Let's go. Game time.
Getting him on my team. That is a lock. It is a lock. So much to get into. We're going to look at week 7 previews a bit later on. Pick our favorites as well. I want to talk Jalen Ramsey with you as well. That situation. But we've got to start with Patrick Mahomes and the situation with the Kansas City Chiefs. Heartbreaking. Although we must point out, recording this, we don't know the extent of the injury, but we know it's not good. We know Mahomes is going to be out for a prolonged period of time. It is a heartbreaker for the Chiefs. And he's been, you know, banged up for the last couple of weeks as well. And we've seen that. This is an altogether different situation. How bad is this for the Kansas City Chiefs prospects? Is this terminal for them, do you think? Even if he's missing 4 or 5 games, then comes back, is it going to be critical enough for them to knock him off the tracks?
Quick answer, yes. It's detrimental to the team. And I say the biggest concern for this team for me in the beginning of the year was Patrick Mahomes took too many hits.
Right.
He tried to extend plays down the field. He was getting hit too much. Now, he got hurt on a quarterback sneak. Mm. That is what it is. But he was one that took risk back in the pocket. And I thought, man, if he gets banged up, it completely changed the complexity of this offense. And it's because it's an offense built on playmakers, right? Andy Reid is calling plays because he thinks his playmakers can beat you, and he's going to scheme them up and get a one-on-one matchup somewhere. Now, you got to have a guy who can deliver the ball and have tremendous arm talent like Pat Mahomes does. They're not a balanced team. They're not running the ball well. They're not playing complementary football as far as what they do on defense. So it's all about Pat Mahomes.
Do you think, hearing this theory, that a lot of coordinators are working out Andy Reid's offense 5, 6, 7 weeks into the season? They always start strongly, but looking at, and I know they've been knocked with injuries as well. Yeah. Obviously, Tyreek Hill was out for a long time, Sammy Watkins as well. But a lot of critics of Andy Reid say he will surge at the beginning, but you can work out the offense midway through the season.
There's some truth to that. And it's because people know Andy Reid. He's been around so long. People know his go-to moves, right? But it's all about, can you stop the talent? Mm. You might know what I want to do, but can you cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one when he, or can you get Travis Kelce? Do you got somebody who can defend him? Most of the time, his chess pieces are winning. Mm. You know, that's why Sammy Watkins was so important. You give him a third tier guy that can go out and just destroy you if you try to cover him one-on-one and he breaks tackles. So yeah, they know what he's doing, but if he's got all his chess pieces, he's still beating you. But right now he doesn't.
Are you surprised that they called that play, given the fact that he's had a knock in recent weeks and clearly not 100%? They called a quarterback sneak.
No.
Put him in the line of fire.
No, you can't play scared out there. I mean, you're out there and you're in harm's way every down. It's just the game. You can't be a scared play caller, especially when there isn't an injury. Like if he comes back, you're not calling a quarterback sneak. I mean, how many times was Tom Brady doing that? He was famous for the quarterback sneak.
Sure.
And that's Tom Brady. You just call the play because it's there and you're trying to have success. Now it looks like we second guess the call now because of the outcome, but you just got to call the game the way you see it.
So again, it entirely depends on the length of the injury. If Mahomes out for the season, forget about it. That presumably is then done. But if he's missing, let's say conservatively 4 or 5 weeks of the season, as a minimum, is that game over for the Chiefs? Matt Moore, can he steer them through? Is he good enough to steer them through with the other injuries they got and the fragility on defense?
If they were a healthy offense and they were running the ball well, I would say, you know what, Andy Reid, he'll pull this out. But they're missing pieces. They haven't been all together. So the offense as a unit cannot compensate for Pat Mahomes because he was the glue. He was the reason they were having success with the injuries. So, like I said, they need to go back. And, hey, Andy Reid is great at this. He's going to reassess the situation and come up with a great game plan that's advantageous for Matt Moore.
Right.
I mean, he's great at that, right?
It's like Sean Payton and Teddy Bridgewater, right? He's given him a couple of weeks and he works it out around. And I guess to a degree as well, what the Panthers have done with Kyle Allen, same thing.
Yeah. Let's not second guess these guys who've been doing it a long time.
Right.
You know, they can go in and make things happen, but it's not going to look the same. Like I said, my biggest concern is the balance of the team. They are not playing balanced football. And what I mean is they're playing too much defense. Like, I wish they were establishing a run and giving that defense, keeping them off the field. That would be the best defense is less defense. And I just think that sometimes they score too fast and Andy Reid is not playing a game plan that's advantageous to what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do. And that's always kind of been his knock. You know, it's always kind of been what they said about Andy Reid as far as his play calling. He needs a defensive coordinator that kind of can help him game plan the whole game instead of just being an offensive minded guy. And I think that that's going to be a problem. I think that you need, when you have your all-star guy go out, you need to be a balanced team, and they're just not.
We've got to talk Jalen Ramsey.
Ooh.
Is Jalen Ramsey the best cornerback in the NFL right now?
Ooh, man. This is tough. He's one of them. Him and Stephon Gilmore, man. Both those guys are just elite, and they are elite man-to-man cover corners. So, and it's because not only are they good as far as being physical at the line of scrimmage, and being able to match the top receivers, but their ball skills. I need a guy who you're scared to throw at because you don't know the outcome. And those two guys are like that. I need you to create a turnover. I need the offensive coordinator, the quarterback, everybody to think, man, let's not throw it up there. This dude might come down with it. And it's, he's running it back against five big linemen. And I think he can shake them.
So, you surprised at his destination? You surprised that it was the Rams that stumped up for him?
You know, I was thinking the Eagles might make a move for him because they need improvement. But no, because he likes LA. I mean, let's not forget, he went to Florida State.
Right.
But you know who he was committed to in college to go to before that?
UCLA?
USC. But good choice, because that's my college.
That's why I went there.
That's why we're friends. But that was smart, actually. That kept the podcast rolling. I could have thrown this headset off and it would have been
all bad. That would have
been it just would have ended.
Because I've heard about the Diva Fits, the J-Bell Diva Fits.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring them up.
But. I know. I don't know why I agreed with that, but I just did. So he likes LA, obviously. And LA is all about star power. If you are a star, where else do you want to be?
That makes sense if you're playing for, and I don't mean this is a knock on the Rams, right? It makes sense if you're playing for the Lakers. I get that. I get the whole LeBron connection with LA because of that. But you know, the Rams are not a well-supported team compared to many others, right? So is it different there, or do you think that it will transcend that because he's going to be a superstar in that team, irrespective of how popular they are compared to other NFL franchises? He's still a sporting superstar in LA.
Yes, that helps. That helps his brand personally, of course. But it is LA. They got the new stadium. They need star power there because they want to fill those seats. And LA is a bandwagon city. If you have success, people jump on it. All the stars show up. Jalen Ramsey is somebody they can point to. And it's like, we got the best guy.
How much of the deal, Jay, do you think was predicated on that? On everything you've just said, the new stadium, we need to sell tickets versus we can win the Super Bowl this season.
It's all based on winning. But I think when you look at the big picture, and if you're in management, you think, what's my chances of signing this guy, right? I got him for another year. I got him for a year and a half. How do I figure that I'm going to be able to sign into a long-term deal? Well, it's all these variables I have. You know, it's like, hey, man, do you want to be here? And this is what it's doing. And this is how much money you're making off the field now that you're in LA. Your shoe deal is now bigger. So I think that helps as far as we can bring those factors in and get him to a long-term deal because of everything else we have to offer.
It's smart business as well, because they actually freed up cap space with the Peters leaving. Ramsey coming in on, as you say, on the length of deal that he has right now. It's not that high risk a maneuver, is it?
It isn't. And you got to look at what their thought process is, right? You're either trying to accumulate picks or trying to accumulate talent. I mean, it's my old general manager, Charlie Casserly, I've heard him say this. You go 50-50 with a first round pick. You got a 50-50 chance. There is no 50-50 chance with Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
He is the guy. So, yes, you are saying, do I want these picks? And that's, you know, you still got to make good decisions and there's risk in that. This is a can't miss player. And the way the game is being played now, the successful teams are doing what? They're playing man coverage. All of them. It's now you have to play man to man coverage to stop all these things these offenses are doing, right? You got to challenge the receivers and make tight windows for the quarterback. You got to have a guy. And in this case, you get a guy who either can easily stop the number one guy, but the old Patriots approach, you put him on the side of your number two, he destroys him, and you play zone over your number one. It gives Wade Phillips a whole new way of flexibility because he's got that guy.
So Jalen Ramsey came over to London this summer, right? I sat down with him. It was great to chat to him because you know what it's like, and you've been on both sides of this, Jay, playing and then broadcasting. It so much depends on many different components when you're doing an interview. You know, how many interviews has that player done?
Yeah.
Are you asking the right questions early doors? Yeah. All of these things. And I got lucky because he'd had quite a chilled day.
Okay.
He hadn't been hammered to the media. He seemed in quite a relaxed mood. And we were able to sit down and just have a conversation,
okay.
Right?
I think that.
He kind of realized, here's a Brit. So is he going to ask me really, really obvious questions? Or, and I wasn't trying to kind of look at what I know, but I asked him questions that I think he was surprised that I asked, right? And I was really impressed with him as a character and absolutely convinced that he has that star quality, but had quite a composed head on his shoulders. But 2-3 weeks later, he rocked up at Jag's training in the, the armored vehicle.
Back up the truck.
So I can't quite work out where he's at. But one of the things I talked to him about was his all-time favorite cornerbacks, his Mount Rushmore of cornerbacks. Can you guess who he put on there?
I know who he went with first because they are friends. I'm cheating because I've seen this. And he's a Florida State guy. And it's everybody's number one. It's Deion Sanders. Come on. Like, it's not a.
Is he your number one?
Of course.
Have you seen the documentary? The 30 for 30. I'm a company man. Yeah. The ESPN documentary.
Yes.
That was interesting because, you know, and you must have, if he was your favorite player and I guess a key influence on you, you must be thinking that. That whole period when he, in the documentary, we talked about. There's him and then there's the character. There's
right.
me and then there's Neon Deion.
Yes.
And cornerbacks are one of those positions where you have to be larger than life. Right? Yes. Often it helps to be larger than life.
I got a Deion story.
Tell me.
A friend of mine named Omar Stoutmire, who played in the league a long time as safety, him and Deion were friends because they played in Dallas together. Really close friends. So when I first get to Dallas, I'm like, hey, Omar, he was playing for the Giants at that time. I said, I'm in town. He said, I'm staying at Deion's house. Come over. I said, Deion's house? Yeah, I'm on my way. So I rock up to Deion's house in Dallas before he sold it. It's the one with prime time on the gate. I go in the house and I'm like, I'm in Deion Sanders' house. And he's got pictures on the wall of him.
Of course.
And he's in suits and it's pictures of him facing forward and backwards. Different suits. So I'm like, oh, this dude is the flyest dude I've ever seen. And I'm just scavengering around his house like looking because it's Deion. But he's got these two big dogs that are kind of watching me like, who is this guy and what is he about to steal? But I wasn't going to steal anything.
Of course not.
I was just in there trying to absorb this greatness.
Soaking the deal. Osmosis.
Osmosis. And it was like, I was this is my idol.
Yeah.
I'm in his house.
Yes.
So I meet him a couple of times, talked to him in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I was like, I was in your house with Omar, and he just started laughing. Ah, you know, that's my brother, whatever. But it was like that set me up for my pro career.
So he wasn't there.
He wasn't there. So
Omar was hanging out.
Omar's at his house.
We were hoping Deion was there. We expected him to be there.
I knew he wasn't there. Okay. And that's why I was, you know, walking through there, checking it out, looking at his gym.
Yeah.
You know, he had a fresh gym. Like, Deion used to try to act like he didn't work hard. But he did. He went home and worked.
The hardest. It's pictures. Did you have pictures of yourself on the wall at home?
Of course not. Of course
that's a
not.
Line you won't cross.
I wasn't that. You got to be Deion to do that. Like, you got to really be that guy.
How big was the Neon Deion jacuzzi?
Oh.
Because he had to have had a jacuzzi, right?
It was. I didn't get too close to it.
No. Okay.
I didn't get too close to it. I walked by that room. I walked by it.
I mean, incredible. Did you, when you were playing, was it important for you as a corner to, because look, let's face it, receivers and corners, they go at it. They are flamboyant. They are, I always think of the movie Heat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And how Pacino and De Niro, they went separate ways, but they're very similar.
Yes.
All right? I always kind of think that when I think receivers and corners. Did you feel that there was pressure to be a larger than life character, or did that come naturally? I mean, you are a naturally charismatic, energy kind of guy, right? So was it something that just came naturally to you, or did you feel that you had to develop a persona when you were playing of some kind?
It definitely came naturally. And the guys I've been around that have been successful at the position, I mean, they have something about them that enjoys the most ridiculous challenge you can possibly imagine, which is covering the second best athletes on the field. And you know, it's on you. Think about the game of football. Everybody else usually has somebody next to them. It's like, if this all goes wrong, it's just not me. I got my buddy.
Yeah.
Not out there on that island. There's so much space. That is the most space on a football field. And you have to line up every play and you have to control that space. You gotta believe in yourself.
It's so tight, isn't it? There's no margin for error. It's like one wrong move and say goodnight.
You just said it. If I trip over my shoelace, which happens, it's game over. That dude is running down the sideline and it's a touchdown. And you just, to think you're managing that emotion down after down, you have to have done something to give you the confidence. And it isn't just because you think you're good.
Yeah.
You have to have put in the work and believe in your technique and who you are as a player, or that's just false confidence and that doesn't work long.
Well, in the locker rooms, obviously there's always a split between offense and defense. I remember the story you told me about, I'm not going to necessarily name him because you told me a story of a luncheon and I could have put, we could always cut it out, but the Eli Antonio Pierce story.
Oh.
Yeah. Can we talk about that?
When
it's Eli Antonio Pierce's birthday.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. we'll do the family version. The family version.
Okay,
of that.
We'll do the family version.
The fact that Eli was at Antonio Pierce's birthday party made you realize, okay, he's a serious player.
I love Eli. Yeah. I love Eli. Antonio Pierce was an employee of ESPN too at one time.
So, yeah. So it'll sync
up. They know about AP. So I get there and I had come from another team, obviously Houston, and the quarterback there was a good dude. Liked him, but
was that Matt Schaubel before? No, before.
It was before. David Carr.
Oh, David Carr.
I love David. Yeah. He's cool, super cool dude, but you know, didn't have a lot of social hanging out with him, you know.
He was
social.
A quiet kind of reserved.
Yeah, and he had his family, young kids, yeah. You know, he's busy, but he was a cool dude when you're around him. So we get to New York and Antonio AP was, his birthday parties were famous. I mean, they were just famous. Like they were just good. In the middle of the season now.
Did you have, when you say famous, was there any AP birthday parties that had any of the following? Lions, cheetahs, Tigers.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. Those words were in there. I just don't know if they're what you think they were.
Okay. So you're at the party.
Yes. Is this going to get you kicked off of ESPN?
Probably. Yeah. Okay. That's why.
That's my goal.
Harry takes care of business. He's the cleanup man. He's like Harvey Keitel.
I am Mr. Wolf.
Okay. Yeah. The party's good. And so we're pre-gaming at our other teammate, another linebacker, Carlos Emmons' house. So we show up late because that's what we do. And we get there and Eli's there and he's like, AP, man, I was about to leave. I was here at 9 o'clock. We get there at 12. We get there at midnight. He's on time. He's ready. He's just chilling out, having a good time, waiting for his teammates.
Yeah.
And I was like, this dude, we're going to win.
I like this guy.
We're just, you know, he gets it. He gets it. And he's just he's a cool dude. He's got a great personality. He's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you see both the Manning brothers. They're just, they're commercial. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
But I knew then, I was like, you know what? This dude he's about his teammates. He's about ball.
Yeah.
And you see,
the defense respected him. That was kind of key for me. That if you got players like AP inviting him to his party, then that is a good sign.
Shows
that
up.
A good sign. On that note, I want to ask you about Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Because I'm curious as to how you think his style in terms of, he's gregarious, the way he calls out things, the way he deals with the media, his persona in the media, if we're staying on that persona tip, how do you think that plays out with the Cleveland locker room, particularly the defense? Do they like that? And that's a bit of a generalization, but do you think it is one of those things when the quarterback is at his age and what he's achieved, behaving like that, they think, great, we need a bit of this swagger, or they're thinking, please stop talking? Because you're gonna cost us.
Okay, that's a two-part question. Mm. I think that in the locker room they know him, so I think they probably like him. Mm. He seems like a team guy. As long as he's not talking about people's contracts, which they checked him on that. Mm. When he started talking about people's money and what they should do, the vets said, "Nah, bro.
Stop doing this.
Yeah, you can't do that. Mm. This isn't college. And when it's your time, we're not going to talk about your deal." Mm. So I think without that, besides that topic, I think people like him in the locker room. And I think his teammates like him because he likes football and it's important to him and he's competitive and people respect that. Now, as far as the rest of the league and everyone else, I think that what makes him good is he's an underdog. He's got an underdog mentality. And let me tell you something, the greatest quarterback of all time, arguably Tom Brady, let's not forget that's him.
Still has it.
He needs that, and it works. But he's figured out how to use it and contain it and keep it within the organization. Don't think it's a mistake that there's always some kind of quarterback they're bringing in to develop there that he has to beat out. Mm. I feel like Belichick does that. Like, I'm going to develop this guy and ship him off somewhere else, but this fires up my quarterback.
Yes.
He needs that.
Yeah.
Baker's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But Baker's got to chill out with how he expresses that because everybody's hanging on every word that comes out of his mouth. Be yourself. Don't change. Just understand when you have 75,000 commercials and you're not winning, people are going to, you got that heat on you.
Yeah.
And you just got to take it. You don't have to comment and believe that you have to defend yourself. You don't.
So who helps a player like Baker with that in an ideal world? Is that his agent? Is that the vets on the team? Is it a combination of different characters? Who should be there telling him and steering him with the advice that you've just given?
It's definitely his inner circle. And it's definitely whoever whoever is the biggest influence on him definitely has to be able to check him and have an open line of communication. I'm not sure on that team of as far as there are some good veterans, but it's – the culture there is kind of like they're just figuring it out, right? They don't have a winning culture. So how do you really – where's the leadership coming from? You know, who's won here? So those guys, I don't think you can really check him too much because he is the organization. But it's about the people around him. And he's probably got some great people around him, but he's just doing a lot. And understand that there comes some negativity with that if you're not – you know, just straight out balling on the field. You know, you can't be out there and your team's losing and every commercial is you.
Yeah.
You know, people are just gonna, they're gonna come at you.
Yeah.
You know, you're opening yourself up. I remember Andrew Luck when he came in the first year, he's like, he stayed away from everything.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything because he knew he had to just go focus on the game.
Yeah.
I believe Peyton didn't really get after it too heavy the first year
as well. Yeah.
I think I could be, I don't have firsthand information on that, but I just think he did. So did Eli. And then
it all came. Yeah,
yeah. But you just want to kind of make it easy on yourself. And I think, you know, be yourself, be that guy in the locker room, man, let everybody around you needs to know you are a guy with your chip on your shoulder and you are out there trying to ball, but chill out. Make it easy for yourself because you can't be a bad team that goes straight to great. You got to be a bad team that goes to good.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody anointed them like they were great. So the pressure's everywhere.
Were you on that train preseason? Were you thinking they were going to be better than they have been?
let me tell you something, Nat. I know football. It's not because I'm a corner and I'm cocky, okay? It's because I listen to other people who are smart. So I watch offensive lines in the offseason because they're like defensive backfields. They're both reactionary positions. So if you're weak in the defensive backfield, it's hard to cover up for long. You get exposed. And offensive line, it's hard, right? You're going against those big dudes reacting. Their offensive line in the offseason, they got all these fancy cars, right? Cleveland Browns. I'm looking at this O-line and I'm like, they're not that good. You know, offensive line minds are like questioning them. And I'm like, okay. And I just start digging more and more and more. And it's like, yeah, they're not that great. And you just don't fix that in the season. Like, where are you going to find these dudes? There's not a bunch of 300 pounders walking the earth that got good footwork. You know, you're kind of stuck with your guys.
Yeah.
So
such
I was
a good point. And it's so overlooked, particularly the offensive line. I think in a way, crazily, it's maybe the unit that is most overlooked when you're kind of evaluating and weighing things up. I think it's a really astute point.
You win games on the line of scrimmage.
Big time.
You have to be good on the offense and defensive line.
Yeah.
Let's look at football and let's say we don't know anything. Look at the line and see who's pushing each other like a fight. And you're like, those guys seem to be pushing the other guys more. And as the game goes on, they're pushing them even farther.
Yeah.
They're going to win the game.
Pushing them in that way.
That's it.
It's a big old hole.
But everybody watching the ball and all the fancy stuff, look at the line of scrimmage. It's going to tell you what's happening.
I swear by this book, and I've plugged it many a year. Pat Cohen's Take Your Eye Off the Ball is one of the best books about football ever written. Mm. And if you are new to the game this season, you're listening to the show and you're getting into it, buy that book. Buy that book and read.
I might read that.
Listen to what Jay, but you know a crazy Pat Cohen story? I'm only going to tell a brief version of it because listeners to the show from last year have heard the story about 25 times. But in Atlanta, and you were out there. I ran the first people I ran into in Atlanta, and you and OC. I'm in Atlanta about 5 minutes.
Yeah. We got a tracker on you.
That's what it was. But that later that night, we'd be filming all day, crazy all day. You know what it's like. And then ended up in this random steakhouse. We didn't seek it out. It wasn't recommended. Mm. We hadn't planned it. It was, let's walk a few blocks away from the craziness of the convention center and Radio Row and everything. And here we are. Let's just go in here. We'll get a beer. We'll get a steak. I'm sitting at the bar. I said to my producer, is that Charlie Weiss?
Ooh.
Charlie Weiss is at the bar.
Play caller.
And then he's talking to Pat Cohen. That morning, J-Bell, I bought my producer Pat Cohen's book. I gave it to him as a gift to thank him for the season. Mm. Pat Cohen is there 12 hours later in Atlanta. So I roll up to Pat Cohen and say, Pat, you're not going to believe this, but Pat Cohen's on the show the next day.
Wow.
And we're recording it on his Sirius set, and it was brilliant. Chat to Pat Cohen. Every 3 or 4 minutes, here's Von Miller. Here's Jason Witten. Stopping him, chatting to him. His producer rocked up about 2 minutes before he's meant to be on air, going, Pat, we have to go.
We got to move, bro.
It was in the stars, man. I love Pat Cohen. So, yeah, Take Your Eye Off the Ball.
That's
recommend
good.
That.
And that's true.
Yeah, it's a great book. And you're right. It's all about the line. And it is smart. We got to get into our picks because time is against us, Jay.
Oh, gosh. I was talking too much again. I like hanging out with you. This is the problem.
The point of the show is talking, I guess. So we're on to a good
That pick. Is true.
The lot of games I want to talk about. We're going to have to spend more time on some rather than others. You know what I want to start? I want to start with the LA Rams. Mm. They got the Falcons in Atlanta, right? And it is crunch time, right, for the Rams. Isn't it? And crunch time for Jared Goff. You know there is a problem when people are suggesting quite significantly maybe it's time to bring Blake Bortles off the bench.
Those people are crazy.
Ridiculous.
But come on now.
But I'm hearing it.
Blakey J-Bot. B, as I call him.
Come on.
Blakey B.
How bad is it going for Jared Goff?
Oh, gosh.
If he's under pressure from Blake Bortles.
Yeah, it's not. This is, Jared Goff got a lot of pressure on him because he got paid so much money and everybody thinks that makes you a star overnight. Mm. And it's just the market, right? The market is this is what we pay guys.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, and lock him in for long term, yep. And it made sense for them. You know, in reality, it goes back to what we were talking about, the offensive line. His offensive line isn't the same offensive line of last year, especially in the interior. They are struggling. Mm. This offense is built on the ability to run that stretch game, run game, and play action pass. Yep. He's not a drop back guy. That's not his thing. That's not what Sean McVay wants to do.
And the absence of a run game as well is the double whammy there, right?
You have to be able to run the ball for this offense to work.
Are you worried about Todd Gurley? I mean, long term, is he in trouble because of his injuries, do you think?
Yeah, I hate talking about guys and injuries and stuff. Just, it sucks. But the one thing they say about running backs is they don't slow down, they fall off cliffs. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, what happened?
Yeah.
The next day. And
so true. You know, I think the prototype or the poster boy for that was Sean Alexander, right? Mm. Do you remember he went from MVP to out of the league? Crazy.
They lose something called contact balance. Mm. They can run around and be cute, but as soon as you get hit, it's the ability to keep that balance. That's what good runners have, right? They're constantly getting pushed around, but that contact balance.
Yep.
And you see with his knee, even the way he cuts, he's compensating. And I think what happens to running backs is this. They want to be on the field. They don't want to be hurt. So when they start having those injuries, they start going, well, I don't want to do this because I don't want to get hurt.
Right.
So even though they're not injured, they look different.
Their players adjusted accordingly. Yeah. Interesting. They've got to win this, the Rams, really, given the way the NFC West is going.
Yeah,
they've got to stay. They're probably in the wild card hunt, you would think, more realistically than winning the division. Atlanta is a tough spot to go because they are dysfunctional, not at the races this season, but they're a dangerous team, of course. They can put up the points, and it's not a straightforward road win here at all, is it?
Matt Ryan's not playing bad. He's not playing bad football. Yeah. offensively, they're not playing bad. Mm. They're just bad on defense.
Yeah.
They're missing tackles. They are not sturdy up front. You can run the ball on them well, and that's what teams are doing. But what are the Rams going to do? Are the Rams going to be able to run the ball?
I don't know. I think I'm picking the Falcons here.
You think? Oh, you're picking the Falcons.
Yeah, I do.
You know why that's smart? They're desperate, man, and they're at home. They need a win.
Yeah.
I want to – and I could go with that. Mm. I could go with
taking Atlanta.
Go with – I'll roll with you on that.
Okay. We are agreeing on that one. We'll go with the Falcons. Let's go next to – ooh, this is a tasty one. The Ravens heading to Seattle. A lot of people are fancying Baltimore for the road win here. Not so fast, I think.
I got a nugget for you.
Tell me.
I don't – the Seattle's defense, historically, even when Pete Carroll was at USC, hasn't done well against running quarterbacks. Mm. How did they lose the national championship at USC? To a guy.
Oh, Vince Young, wasn't it?
Ooh, there we go. Yeah. It's just that cover three scheme they run and all that kind of stuff that, it's just, they don't do well.
That's a really, really good point.
It's just what it is.
So that is a big, I've also heard some interesting theories this week about the Seahawks 5-1 being the most overrated team in the NFL right now. Essentially saying that the defense is so-so. Their offense is so-so. It's still a bit imbalanced in terms of not quite as focused on the run as it was last year. But they're winning. Russell Wilson is basically winning games for them that they shouldn't be winning.
He's the man.
Are you buying that? Are you buying that they're not a 5-1 side?
You are what your record is.
Right.
So I'm going with that. You are who your record says you are, especially at this time of the year. Mm. The first three games, I'm like, things can change, as we've seen what happened with Dallas. But Russell Wilson is MVP front runner.
Yeah,
no so doubt. You got the guy. He can make things happen. And you know what? His playmakers on the outside are doing well. He can score points. I think they're very balanced. They understand they need to rest the defense and how that needs to work structurally. Mm. They call plays based on the whole game plan of what they want to do that week. They know we got to play this way to win this game. Pete Carroll's great at that. He's a great teacher on defense. So even though you got young guys and you might not be the best defense, you're constantly getting better because that's the kind of environment the Seattle team is as far as coaching staffs. So it's going to be tough, but these two teams, you're going to see a lot because if they can come out and win this game, it shows that what we think about them defensively, they've really shored that up, and they can adjust week to week.
Yeah, Earl Thomas as well, returning to Seattle as well, is another side note here. So, Ravens at Seahawks, which way are you going?
Ooh, Ravens at Seahawks. Man, I'm going to go with Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle. You almost convinced me with that Pete Carroll line to go the other
way.
We got to
talk our way. I got to challenge why I think something.
I like that. Yeah. I like that approach. Yeah. Seattle, but narrowly. I think it's going to be a bit closer.
Oh, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight.
Saints Bears, another interesting one. Saints, another team at 5-1.
You're just trying to make this hard on us, man.
Well, I thought we'd go deep on the top, on the big ones, right?
Gosh.
Alvin Kamara is a key one to watch here. He did go last week, but he's definitely banged up.
And yeah, he's banged
limited,
up, right?
Limited practice, right? So we've got to keep an eye on him. And at fundamental, I think, particularly right now, we referenced it earlier on the way that Sean Payton has worked an offense around Teddy Bridgewater, playing to his strengths and weaknesses and adapting his weaknesses. And he's unbeaten. I mean, it's an impressive role by Teddy. He had the Saints fans cheering his name, which was great to see as well. This is an altogether different proposition, though, the Chicago Bears defense in Chicago at Soldier Field. So forget their offensive challenges for a second. What about this New Orleans offense as it is right now up against the Chicago D?
Okay, cool. Sean Payton might get coach of the year. Let's just say that, right? First of all.
Yeah,
he might get coach of the year. This is sweet what he's doing.
Yeah.
All right. So the one thing he does well is he's a magnificent structural play caller. Like his game plans are tight. And it's going to be the biggest concern I have is they're outside in Chicago.
Yeah. But that's better to be outside Chicago now than in
it's still outside.
December.
They're still a dome team.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They're outside.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know, it's just that is just like you don't want to go into New Orleans and play. I mean, it's the Bermuda Triangle. You go get lost. but they're outside. That is a concern for me, but they are a better team than Chicago. They're more balanced. Mm. So I think the game plan is my big concern is Alvin Kamara. He is a chess piece, right? But Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a bully in the slot.
Absolute heavyweight.
What he can go outside, inside, like, and their strength is their front seven, right? They're Chicago's on defense. They, you know, but you can move this guy around and you can get a matchup, a favorable matchup, and you can go to work.
Yeah. And I mean, exactly the improvisational element there as well. Akeem Hicks out on our, that's a big blow for the Bears.
That's the reason why out in London, they were getting the ball ran right at them.
Yep.
You know, it's just back to our narrative. Man, we're two smart dudes, man. We talked about the line of scrimmage and everything comes back to if you can't stop the run in the middle, you're in trouble. Mm. I don't care what Khalil Mack's doing. Run inside. You know, away from him.
Yeah.
Go, you know, I mean, he can't play the whole line of scrimmage. So, yeah, that's been a significant loss for them. So, that's why my concern with Alvin Kamara is, man, you need a guy, you need to be able to run the ball against these dudes because you can.
Trubisky or Chase Daniel?
I mean, who cares?
Well, the Bears fans probably a little bit.
No, I feel sorry for Mitch Trubisky, man.
He's got a higher upside, doesn't he?
Maybe. Mm. You know, the thing, big concern of him coming out of college was he didn't have a lot of starts. Mm. Bill Parcells always would say, you need a certain number of starts. I forget what it is, so I'm not going to mention it.
Yeah.
It's like when I was in math class. Can we just not use the numbers? Can I just tell you what I think?
Kind of fundamental
fundamentally, if you would put this together, there's an equation.
But it's
solution.
True. I always remember Mark Sanchez, who for a while had a, you know, a decent time with the Jets. Mm-hmm. But he'd only started, I think, 16 games at USC. And
that
everyone
was
said,
Pete Carroll said.
Carroll,
he wasn't ready to come out. Yeah. He came out because there were no other quarterbacks that draft.
Yeah.
And you need a certain number amount of starts to really properly evaluate. And I think that with Mitchell Trubisky, maybe they didn't properly evaluate him because they didn't have the starts.
The sample size, Who you picking?
Oh, man, let's go with the Saints.
I'm going with this. Agreeing too much.
Let's go with the Saints.
J-Bell. I'm going Saints on the road on the basis Kamara starts. So we allowed that asterisk.
Yeah, we need. He's got to be on the field.
All right. Here is another tricky one.
Oh,
they come thick and fast. It's some cracking games this weekend.
Yeah.
Eagles Cowboys is where I'm going next.
Ooh.
In Arlington, the Eagles 3-3 after getting shellacked by the Vikings last week. We all know what happened to Dallas. Similar record, 3-3. The upset against the Jets, which I think. Significantly, Amari Cooper going out was a major blow there. He's such a key part of that offense. They're banged up on the back to that offensive line. He missed practice on Wednesday, but they think he'll start.
Okay.
The line, going back to the line, serious problems there, of course, in terms of Leo Collins, Tyron Smith.
Both tackles out.
Yeah. So big problems for Dallas. Jason Garrett, I mean, how awkward a week has he had off the back of that footage when nobody's just leaving him hanging?
Oh my gosh.
With the high-fiving.
Man.
That was out of order, wasn't it?
Something's up with the culture over there.
What are you looking at that as a player? What did you think is going on?
I think, this is Dallas. This is what happens in Dallas.
Put it in context, Jay, for listeners who maybe didn't see it. Players coming off the field.
Yeah.
Coach Garrett has got both hands up for the high five.
You don't miss the head coach's high five. That's how you get cut.
They all missed
it. They missed it.
They all missed it. They showed him up.
Yeah, they did. They did. I hope they're apologizing. Like, Coach, I didn't see you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what happens in Dallas. Jerry Jones does a good job in selling the star. Boom. The Cowboys. And you are on that team and you feel like you've won the Super Bowls, but you haven't.
Yeah.
You haven't. So when you start to have success like they did, the star is so big, you start believing.
Mm.
And I think that they really started believing, like, we are great. And that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Because you stop working on little things. When you are playing well, you don't evaluate as a corner that, man, my technique, I've covered this well, but I'm not stepping right here. I'm not doing this. When you're losing, everything is broke down.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the year, you need to be on that stuff.
It's so interesting you say that level of detail. I remember chatting to Phil Handy, who at the time was coaching at the Cavs, right? And I said to him, is LeBron James difficult to coach because he knows he's one of the greatest players of all time? And he said quite the opposite. Mm. He is the easiest player I've ever coached because he wants to concentrate on the most minute detail. Even now, even after everything he's achieved, he wants to know that level of detail of something I did wrong in that moment of that random game in the middle of a long old season.
So I know I'm long winded, so I'm going to pick Dallas. But let me go back to your point.
Don't make me laugh, man.
I'm sorry. Okay. Aaron Glenn, DB yep. coach for the Saints. Mm-hmm. Played with him in Houston. Great corner. Great teacher. Great everything. Mm. All he ever said was focus every day. It was the basic stuff. He's like, what did you learn when you first played football? Stepping here, doing that. That's what we drilled. Mm. When you were playing good, you went back to the basics. Yep. When you were playing bad, you went to the basics. Mm-hmm. Good players stick to the basic fundamentals.
Yeah.
And when you're winning and you don't have that kind of leadership wherever it's coming from, the basics and the fundamentals go to the wayside.
Foundation goes. Love it. Really, really good. I also loved you. We're great. Just maybe every morning in the mirror. I bet that's going on. But you're picking the Cowboys.
I'm going with it because they're desperate and they're at home. I think they're going to help their tackles, right? Last week, I just don't think as good as Kellen Moore is play calling, I just don't like what he's doing at the line of scrimmage, you know, as far as helping those guys out and stuff, you know, bring people in tight, make it harder, protect them. There's things you can do with your alignment. Yeah. I think they're going to adjust.
A lot of sharps are on the Eagles, and I think I had my head turned, Jay. Mm. I've had my head turned. I think Philly go and get the win. I think at the moment
they can't cover anybody now.
It is.
Who's going to cover?
I just think they're going to outscore. They are bagged up in the secondary.
Who are they going to cover, bro?
But Cooper's fitness is key, I guess, in that respect as well.
Michael Gallup is nice.
I think Gallup's hurt as well, though.
See, this is stuff I didn't know.
I don't know if he's starting or not, though. But yeah. They probably both will.
Ezekiel Elliott needs to play well too. He needs a game. Yeah, this is what happens when you miss a whole camp. By the way, he's got to click for him.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna stick with it despite the banged up secondary. I'm going with the Eagles in there. All right. So Jay, the rest of the games we're gonna call them. You're gonna call who's gonna win and why.
Okay.
Right, keep it condensed. Let's start. An easy one. 49ers Redskins. Washington.
49ers. Because they're just a better team. Probably one of the best in the NFC.
Yeah, I think so.
Balanced. The best, most balanced team.
49ers win because the Redskins is my, is my answer.
I mean, that's
there.
A good answer.
Thanks, man. Cardinals, Giants. Ooh. Tricky. Saquon should be back.
Cardinals, Giants. Where are they at?
In New York.
Giants.
I think so too. And I think Saquon.
They don't travel well. Cardinals aren't going to travel well.
Agreed.
And they're playing outside.
Christian Kirk, David Johnson, slightly banged up.
That's Giants won this.
Texans Colts. In Indianapolis.
Texans.
You're going Texans.
Yes.
Me too.
Texans are on the road. Good now.
They are. I think they're legit. I think they've got a 5-2. Raiders Packers.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be tough to call, but the Green Bay wins this game. Green Bay's playing well on defense.
Raiders off a bye. Green Bay's receiving core banged up. Could be without Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison. I still think they get the win at home. I think love what the Raiders are doing.
Yeah, love what they're doing. Love the culture. But, I mean, Green Bay really is a much better team on defense these days.
Vikings, Lions in Detroit.
That's a tough one, man. You know, I said this on my show, and I'm going to say it here. I'm a big Vikings fan, but I think Detroit wins this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think Detroit?
I just think Detroit is on the cusp, man. I think they'll shut down Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins doesn't play well against good defenses.
They are hurting as well after being robbed against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Short week though. A lot of people think this will be because of two strong defenses.
Yeah.
Be quite a low scoring game. I think the opposite. I think this could turn into a bit of a shootout. I think Stafford's going to air it out. I can see Minnesota going ahead, Stafford airing it out, and just firing the ball around.
I just don't have faith in Kirk Cousins against this defense. I really don't.
Patricia, sneaky underrated head coach.
Oh, he's great, man.
Jags, Bengals.
I mean, does anybody care? Jags.
the Minshew Maniacs care. Yeah, they need to get back in the saddle.
You know what? I will say this about Jacksonville, man. They need to figure out what they're doing as far as what they're going to be. They got to figure out what they're going to be. But I like what they're doing in Minshew Mania. I like what Fournette's doing. He needs to be a tailback in the I formation with a fullback. That's what they're doing.
I felt bad for Doug Marrone in the presser after Ramsey got traded, fielding questions about it. And he was just looking to the side of the stage saying, I think maybe somebody else in the organization should be answering this. Man, I didn't deal him.
Coaches are there to coach, you know. Yeah. He's not in the office working on that trade.
Making the call.
He's trying to get his team better.
Well, I tell you, he'll be interested in the Jags-Bengals game. The Dolphins, of course, because they're gunning for the number one spot alongside the Bengals. They're in Buffalo.
Are you actually? We're going to actually pick the Dolphins against the Bills.
How much are they going to win by the Bills?
I don't even care, man. But the Bills are a good team. The Bills—they might embarrass these dudes. I mean, the Bills.
You think it might get messy?
Yeah, man. McDermott ain't having it, man. He's a tough guy. I like what he's done with that team. Very good team.
Yeah, Bills all the way. Chargers, Titans. Chargers. Ooh. An ugly season they're having.
Chargers are a bad football team. And I think the Titans.
Ryan Tannehill starting, of course, his first start of the season. They bench Mariota.
Titans should win this game. But, you know, the offensive line of the Chargers is horrendous right now. So
banged up left, right, and center. Yeah. I think Chargers loses two. Yeah. 2-5. That is say goodnight Gracie for their season, I think.
Yeah. That doesn't sound good. Like that term you just used.
Say goodnight Gracie.
Yeah, that just sounds like it's over.
That's what it is. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Like, I don't want anybody to ever say that about me.
We'll never say that about you, Jay, but you're good.
Sorry, I know you got the rib, bro. My bad.
Patriots and Jets. It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Yeah. Patriots are going to embarrass the Jets on Monday Night Football. But I will say this. Sam Darnold. Okay, if there's any positive, did you see the way the team played when he came in?
Oh, completely different.
And what does that say?
They're buying it. Back to your Eli story, right? They're buying into him.
That, as an organization, and as a team builder, you go, man, we picked the right guy.
Yeah.
Not only is the way he played, but the way the team believes in him.
Yeah.
This is good for them. And this will be great to see what he can do.
Yeah.
Versus the Patriots.
It's in Jersey. There's no chance of an upset, but they could keep it tighter than some of the spreads are suggesting, I think. And the future's bright for New York, you think, with Sam?
I think so. I'm looking at what teams, how they respond, because I've been in that situation, and I'm like, that response tells me they're like, we got our guy back.
We are great.
We are great.
But I think that is, if I've missed a game, hit us up on social media at the NC Show. I'm pretty sure that's a clean
sweep. And if we picked wrong, just reverse, and we really meant the other team.
Exactly right. What he said. Yeah. What he said. J-Bell. It has flown by. We've got to get some plugs in before you go. So you mentioned your pod earlier.
Yep.
The Jason and Osi Show.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I can't believe they allow us to have a podcast.
I love the podcast.
We got to get you on there, man. Because you're a funny dude. Do people know how funny you are?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I would love to come on, man. We've got to get into that. And I love dropping by doing the highlight show with you a week ago.
We love it, man. It was one of the best ones, man. Thank you for coming on. We love working with you.
You make it easy, J-Bell. And so if a listener want to catch you on that, of course, that's where they had the Jason and Osi Show on social media as well.
Yeah.
Jason Bell 33.
Yeah, Jason Bell 33. Yeah. Yeah. I almost forgot.
You're going to come back and see us soon, right?
Of course, man. This is fun, man. They keep letting me in the building. Security is tough, but it's cool.
We'll make sure. Make sure your name is on the door. just every week. And whenever you want to rock in, you're here. Look after yourself, man. Well, it is always a pleasure to check in with J-Bell. A rip-roaring 50 minutes or so. Well, it depends what Harry, the producer, does with the edit, which will leave you to think about what didn't make the cut. But it was great checking J-Bell. He will be back very, very soon. Don't forget, we're back tomorrow with our Daily Fantasy Special, the OG. And on Monday as well, Nikki Bandini joining us to review all the Week 7 action. Looking forward to that. Follow us on social if you're not already, at the NC Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, a lot of bonus content going out there, including videos from today and indeed our fantasy videos as well. So get stuck in on the social channels. And a big shout out to our terrific sponsors, Paddy Power Fantasy. I really appreciate their support this season. If you're not getting involved with Daily Fantasy, then do so. It's a lot of fun. And me and the OG tomorrow morning on the Saturday pod will give you a steer on how to get your game on. So Paddy Power Fantasy, straightforward stuff. Go and find it and get involved. Right, gang, enjoy the games. We'll see you Monday. Bye for now.